This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
The GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, it is Wednesday, March 21st, and here's how today's show is going. We're going to start off today, a little bit throwback. We haven't started off with this NBA scores from the night before in a while, but we'll be doing that for this segment. Next up, we'll be talking about my favorite free agency moves so far in this NFL offseason. Going to talk about a couple of them. Third segment, we're going to be talking a little bit about the 49ers and anything else going on in the NFL. Going to be a real NFL-heavy show today. And then for the fourth segment, as we always do, going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports and making my picks for tonight's games. Got a lot of good games going on tonight, so we'll be doing that. All right, so let's get into it. First up, we had the Oklahoma City Thunder facing off with the Boston Celtics. No Jaylen Brown, no Kyrie Irving. All right, no Marcus Smart, no problem for the Celtics. They won this one 100-99. For the Thunder, you had Carmelo Anthony with 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 5 of 13, 2 of 6 from the 3-point line. Corey Brewer had 11 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 4 of 12, 1 of 6 from the 3-point line. Paul George, 24 points, 13 rebounds, shot 9 of 19, 5 of 8 from the 3-point line. Steven Adams had 14 points, 7 rebounds, shot 4 of 7 there. Russell Westbrook had 27 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, shot 9 of 21, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. And then for the Celtics, you had Al Horford, who has really struggled so far after the All-Star break. Just really hasn't gotten it going at all. He had 5 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, shot 2 of 9, 1 of 4 from the 3-point line. Marcus Morris had 21 points, 4 rebounds, 8 of 13, shooting 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. Jason Tatum had 23 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 8 of 12. And then you had Terry Rozier, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, shot 5 of 15. And off the bench, you had Greg Monroe with 17 points, 6 rebounds, shot 6 of 12. And then Shane Larkin with 13 points, 4 rebounds, shot 5 of 9, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. I was watching this game, and there was about 25 seconds left. Thunder were up by 6. I'm like, oh, game's over. I'm just going to change the channel or whatever. And then usually I get an update on my phone when the game's over, and I never got the update. So see, maybe, I don't know, I'm going to check back. I think the Thunder and Trailblazers game is starting in a few minutes anyway. So I go back, and you got Boston Celtics players celebrating all over, like, not all over the place, but pretty much celebrating. I'm like, wait, what just happened? The Thunder were winning by 6 or 5 with like 25, 22 seconds left, and I figured they'd win. And turns out, all right, the Thunder missed 3 out of their 4 free throws to end the game. Melo has a chance to ice the game. They're up by, well, not ice the game, but chance to put them up by 3. All right, they're up by 2. Melo hits the first one, misses the second one, and then Boston gets it down. They inbounded on their side of the court where they got to shoot. You get into Jason Tatum. He drives in. Looks like he's going to lose the ball. Dishes it out to Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris pump fakes, moves over once, and then hits the shot. And then, boom, Celtics are up 100-99. It was just, I don't know how you mess this up if you're the Thunder, honestly. This is a real bad loss for that team, too. All right, it's a good win for Boston since they're out without Kyrie and Jaylen Brown, but this is more so about the Thunder than it is about the Celtics. I mean, this is a real bad loss. You have to beat teams like this if you want to be taken seriously, especially heading into the playoffs. I mean, you got guys like Carmelo Anthony who, you know what? I think I talked about it before, but Carmelo Anthony just, he's just not, I don't know. I saw a tweet yesterday saying, is Carmelo Anthony the worst good player of all time? All right. And obviously the context there is, I mean, Carmelo Anthony, we've always known that he's a good player. Will we consider him a great player in his NBA career? I think, yeah, all right, fine. I think he was like worst good or worst great. But either way, let's say he's a great player, all right? But what exactly has Carmelo Anthony accomplished? Like, what exactly has he done to, yeah, what has he done, honestly, in the NBA? And I know people, oh, he won gold medals. That's cool. I could have won a gold medal on that team too, all right? Those teams were all loaded. They would have won a gold medal with or without Carmelo Anthony. So there's that. But either way, in the NBA, what has he ever done, really? All right? played with a few good Nuggets teams. They never made it out the first round, I don't think. Like, Carmelo Anthony is basically, he's just a player who's had a nice NBA career, who's going to find himself into the Hall of Fame. And it's kind of, it's kind of odd. Like, Carmelo Anthony was a great scorer and all that, but, I mean, just never really accomplished anything. I think he's got, like, one scoring title, I believe. Got a bunch of All-Star appearances, a couple of first, second team, All-NBA teams. I don't, other than that, I mean, he's never done anything as far as team accomplishments. All right, like, we've never, actually, Carmelo Anthony, he's made out the first round before, I think, when he beat the Celtics when he was with the Knicks. But either way, I mean, Melo is just, I don't know, it's just a weird player. That's not a primary player. That's not a player you start your team with. All right, Melo's a piece that you add to it to help complete the team. But I don't know, just Melo as a player has just been kind of weird. Kind of feel like he could have did more, but just hasn't. But either way, like I said, bad loss for the Thunder. Should have pulled this one out. And Thunder were struggling the entire game. Celtics were just outplaying them and playing a whole lot harder. All right, but either way, Celtics won. And like I said, Jason Tatum, he had 23 points, 11 rebounds. Honestly, I look forward to watching the Celtics when Kyrie's not playing because of the fact that Jason Tatum is going to take more shots. And Jason Tatum looks very good when he's the primary option on this Celtics team. And I'm not saying get rid of Kyrie or anything like that, but I do have a little idea that maybe Boston should sit Kyrie for the rest of the season and pretty much just hold him out till next season to come back with Hayward. I mean, because Kyrie's been dealing with his knee soreness, and I mean, he's going to be dealing with it for the playoffs, and there's no point in risking him injuring himself once again because of it. I say shut him down. They're probably not going to shut him down either unless he needs like surgery or something like that, which he's going to be in the offseason, I believe. But anyway, I say shut him down. And the Celtics team, they show that they can compete. They can get out the first round. I think they could beat a team like the Bucks or the Heat. And then you'd have to play a team like the Cavs where, yeah, you'll probably end up losing to the Cavs without Kyrie. But either way, you'll still have a pretty good series, I still think. Actually, nah. I don't know. I think Cleveland actually would probably beat them in six games at the very most. But either way, I say shut down Kyrie. All right, let Jason Tatum develop a little bit more as the number one guy while he's out. You have Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, and all those guys still out there. But we'll see about that. As for the next game, we had the Toronto Raptors facing off with the Orlando Magic, and Toronto won this one 93-86. For Toronto, you had Serge Ibaka with 13 points, 6 rebounds, shot 5 of 11. Jonas Valanciunas had 9 points, 8 rebounds, shot 4 of 8. Kyle Lowry, he had 25 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 9 of 17, 7 of 13 from the 3-point line. No DeMar DeRozan in this one, was out with a left thigh contusion. All right, you had CJ Miles with only 3 points, shot 1 of 9 off the bench. Wasn't a great night for him. Norman Powell had 10 points, shot 4 of 7, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. You had Darrell Wright with 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 3 of 6 from the field. Yeah, and then for the Magic, you had Aaron Gordon with 16 points, 6 rebounds, shot 7 of 15, 2 of 8 from the 3-point line. Jonathan Isaac had 10 points, 5 rebounds, shot 4 of 7. Nikola Vucevic with 15 points, 9 rebounds, shot 7 of 19, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. DJ Augustine had 9 points, 10 assists, shot 4 of 9 from the field. Aaron Aflalo, I've not seen his name with his Magic team all season, I feel, but either way, he got the start in this one. 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist in 23 minutes, shot 1 of 4. And then off the bench, you had Shelvin Mack with 17 points, 4 assists, 7 of 16 shooting, 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. All right, nice little win for the Toronto Raptors. Did well to win without DeMar DeRozan. They have a big game going on tonight against the Cavs. Cavs are actually favored in that one. All right, I'm not going to make my pick right now because we usually do it for the fourth segment. But either way, I mean, Cavs being favored against, I guess if DeMar DeRozan isn't playing, then I understand that. Now it makes more sense. I forgot the fact that DeMar DeRozan probably isn't playing tonight. But either way, I mean, it's going to be a nice little, if Toronto loses this game against the Cavs, you're going to see everyone running around saying, oh, maybe the Cavs are the best team in the East now, or maybe Toronto just doesn't have it yet. I would guarantee it. Those are going to be some storylines coming out. All right, it's not going to be like a big story or anything like that, but there's going to be people talking about it like that. As for the next game, we had the LA Clippers facing off with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Minnesota won this one 123-109. For the Clippers, you had Tobias Harris with 10 points, 6 rebounds, shot 5 of 16. DeAndre Jordan had 18 points, 12 rebounds, shot 9 of 11. Austin Rivers, poor shooting net from him, 4 of 14 from the field, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line, 11 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. All right, Montrezl Harrell had 9 points, 5 rebounds, shot 3 of 9. Lou Williams had 15 points, 5 assists, shot 4 of 11.
You got Sean Kilpatrick with 15 points, 2 rebounds, shot a 5 of 10, 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. For the Timberwolves, you had Taj Gibson with 15 points, 8 rebounds, shot 6 of 8. Andrew Wiggins had 27 points, 3 rebounds, shot 9 of 16, 4 of 5 from the 3-point line. Probably the best night he's had shooting the 3-ball this year. Karl Anthony Towns had 30 points, 10 rebounds, shot 10 of 19, 3 of 7 from the 3-point line. Jeff Teague, 20 points, 12 assists, 4 rebounds, shot 8 of 13, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. And then off the bench, you had Derrick Rose, 7 minutes played, 4 of 6 from the field, 9 points. Pretty efficient night there. You had Jamal Crawford with 20 points, 2 rebounds, shot 7 of 13, 2 of 7 from the 3-point line. This was really a game the Clippers needed to pull out here. All right, they couldn't really afford. They could afford to lose because obviously it's still pretty close. But, I mean, with the Minnesota, let me double-check the standings right now in the West so I make my point pretty clearly here. All right, but I think right now Minnesota should be the 8th seed or at least the 7th seed. All right, Minnesota, yeah, Minnesota's literally yesterday the Jazz were in the 5th spot, and now they're back in the 8th spot. This is ridiculous. But either way, Minnesota now in the 7th spot, and the Clippers are currently, I think they should be two and a half games back of the Jazz for the 8th spot, 3 games back of the Timberwolves. All right, if you're the Clippers, you can't afford to lose ground like this. You got to be winning these games, and I understand the Timberwolves are a nice team to play against, all right, tough team to play against, but, I mean, you got to figure out a way. It's not just a matter of, oh, they were the better team. No, it doesn't work out that way. You got to find a way. All right, right now the Nuggets are 2 games back of the Jazz, and I think that this might end up being how the seeding, or not the seeding ends up, but at least I think there's going to be the 8 teams that make the Western Conference playoffs. Because you got the Rockets at 1, they're going to stay at 1. You got the Warriors at 2, they'll stay at 2. Trailblazers at 3, they'll probably stay there. Then you got the Thunder, Pelicans, Spurs, Timberwolves, Jazz. All right, that rounds it out from 4 through 8. Right now, I mean, all those teams are playing pretty well. Thunder had a bad loss, but I'm sure they'll be able to pick it up. And, I mean, I just don't see how, I don't see Denver getting in, but Denver's probably the one team on the outside looking in that I like to see get in, but I'd rather see the Jazz get in over them, the Timberwolves too, just see Jimmy Butler with that team. And then you got the Spurs and Pelicans. The Spurs, I don't think, are going to miss out on playoffs. It's just, it's going to come down for the last spot, I think. I think the top 7 teams are going to make it, and then it's going to be between the Nuggets and Jazz for that 8th spot, unless the Clippers go on a little bit of a win streak here. So, I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see, but like I said, the Clippers need to win games like these. You can't afford to lose them. And as for the Timberwolves, I mean, nice little win right here. Big win for them. All right, they're half game up on the Jazz for that 7th spot. They're half game back of the Spurs, and they are a game and a half back of the Thunder for that 4th spot. So, I mean, as far as seeding goes, I have no idea how it's going to end up. I mean, it could be one, like I said, one day you have the Jazz at 5th, the next day they're back at 8th. So, I don't know. It's all crazy going on in the West right now. But as for the next game, we had the Dallas Mavericks facing off with the New Orleans Pelicans. And the Pelicans won this one, 115-105. For the Mavericks, you had Harrison Barnes with 19 points, 4 rebounds, shot 8 of 19, 104 from the 3-point line. Dwight Powell had 11 points, 6 rebounds, shot 5 of 6. Dirk Nowitzki had 19 points, 3 rebounds, shot 7 of 13, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line. J.J. Barea had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, shot 5 of 11 from the field. Off the bench, you had Doug McDermott with 11 points, 4 rebounds. Nerlens Noel had 6 points, 6 rebounds in 20 minutes played. Then you had Yogi Ferrell with 15 points, 3 rebounds, shot 6 of 14, 1 of 6 off from the 3-point line off the bench. As for the Pelicans, you had Anthony Davis with 37 points, 8 rebounds. That has to be like the first single-digit rebound game he's had in a while, I feel. But anyway, yeah, 37 points, 8 rebounds, shot 5 of 20, or 15 of 21 from the field, 2 of 3 from the 3-point line. Etuan Moore had 14 points, 6 assists, shot 6 of 13 from the field, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. Mecca Okafor only played 5 minutes in this one, not sure if he got hurt or just got pulled early. Rajon Rondo played 30 minutes in this one, had 19 points, 14 assists, 9 rebounds, shot 8 of 14, 1 of 4 from the 3-point line. Off the bench, you had Mirotić with 8 points, 7 rebounds, poor shooting night though, 3 of 10 from the field, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. Check Diallo had 10 points, 14 rebounds, shot 4 of 8. And you had Ian Clark, who's been a monster all year off the bench, 19 points, 4 assists, shot 9 of 15, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line. People aren't really talking about Ian Clark too much off the bench, as far as, I guess you could say, like that 6th man of the year type role, like Terry Rozier, Lou Williams, and Jamal Crawford types. But Ian Clark has been very consistent for this team, looked very good playing for them. So, I mean, that's a plus right there. That's one thing that's different about this Pelicans team than the last, is that their bench is stepping up and they finally have good wing players. Jrue Holiday missed yesterday with an illness, but you throw in a guy like Solomon Hill, he only played 11 minutes. He's not really going to make much of a difference. But like I said, now you got guys like Etuan Moore and Jrue Holiday playing for you starting. They're playing really good. And off the bench, you got Cheick Diallo, who's a nice little big man. Nikola Mirotić, who is your 6th man. And Ian Clark, like I said, he's been really, really stepping up, playing big minutes. He played 31 minutes yesterday. So that's good on them. Let's see. Should we do the next games? I think we're going to move the next games over to the next segment. Yeah, we're going to move the next games over to the next segment. All right, we still got the Atlanta Hawks game, Detroit's game, and we're going to talk about Houston's game next up. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We spent that last segment recapping most of the games from, what was it, Tuesday? Yeah, from Tuesday. Got a couple more to do right here, so let's just get right back into it. All right, we had the Atlanta Hawks facing off with the Utah Jazz. Atlanta won this one 99-94, and quite the surprise. Mike Muscala got the start on this one, had 8 points, 5 rebounds, shot 3 of 9, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. Tarion Prince, poor shooting line from him, 3 of 13 from the field, 0 of 6 from the 3-point line, only 11 points, did have 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Dwayne Dedmon had 15 points, 4 assists, 15 rebounds, shot 7 of 13, 1 of 5 from the 3-point line. And you had Dennis Schroeder, monster game from him, 41 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 16 of 28, 3 of 7 from the 3-point line. Kind of like those numbers he used to have, well, not consistently, but he used to put up big games when Atlanta was actually a good team. They had Jeff Teague and Dennis Schroeder coming off the bench a bit. But either way, big game from Schroeder there. All right. For Utah, you had Jonas Repko with 0 points, shot 0 of 4 from the field, 0 of 2 from the 3-point line, 5 rebounds. Joe Ingles shot 4 of 11, 1 of 8 from the 3-point line, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Rudy Gobert had 15 points, 16 rebounds, shot 7 of 10. Ricky Rubio had 23 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 7 of 14, 3 of 7 from the 3-point line. Then you had Donovan Mitchell with 24 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 9 of 28, 1 of 10 from the 3-point line. Obviously, you could see the theme for the Jazz starting 5 was none of them could shoot the ball well. All right, Ricky Rubio, Rudy Gobert did well, but Joe Ingles, 1 of 8 from the 3-point line. Jonas Repko didn't hit a shot in 13 minutes, and then Donovan Mitchell missed 19 shots. All right, not the best. And if you're Utah, you got to win games like these. All right, I understand that. I mean, more so people really didn't expect Utah to be in this position as far as playoffs, but I mean, Utah is a good team. All right, we can't talk about them as if they're a team who is still coming back, trying to pretty much recoup from the Gordon Hayward thing. Like, no, this is still a good team. All right, Donovan Mitchell made this team good, and pretty much all the other guys there. But Utah's got to be beating teams like Atlanta. You can't be taking losses against them, especially in a tight playoff race. So, I don't know. Bad loss from Atlanta, from Utah. Bad win for Atlanta. Hurts them in the tanking business. So, I guess no one wins here. But either way, next game up, we have the Detroit Pistons facing off with the Phoenix Suns. For some reason, I thought Detroit was bad enough to where they'd lose to the Suns. I was wrong. Detroit won 115-88. For Detroit, you had Blake Griffin with 26 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists, shot 9 of 15, 3-7 from the 3-point line. Reggie Bullock had 12 points, shot 4 of 9, 2 of 3 from the 3-point line. Stanley Johnson, poor shooting night from him. 2 of 12 from the field, 0 of 4 from the 3-point line, 5 points, 6 rebounds. Andre Drummond had 10 points, 10 rebounds, shot 4 of 9. Reggie Jackson, first game back, 7 points, 2 assists, shot 3-7 in 15 minutes played. And off the bench, you had Luke Kennard with 16 points, 6 rebounds, shot 6 of 11, 3-6 from the 3-point line. Ish Smith, he had 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 5 of 13 there. For the Suns, you had Dragan Bender with 9 points, 6 rebounds, shot 4-13, 1 of 8 from the 3-point line. That guy is quite the bust, let me tell you. Alex Len had 19 points, 12 rebounds, shot 9 of 11. Alfred Payton, only 4 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, shot 2 of 6. Troy Daniels had 18 points, 3 rebounds, shot 6 of 9, 4 of 5 from the 3-point line. You had Josh Jackson with 15 points, 11 rebounds, shot 6 of 19, 0 of 3 from the 3-point line. All right, this whole thing with Detroit, like I said, I mean, it kind of seemed like the plan was to trade for Griffin and then hope Reggie Jackson came back sooner and hope that the Pistons were playing well once he got back. Hasn't happened, but either way, Reggie Jackson's back. Let's see. Do they have any chance whatsoever to make the eighth seed? Let me see. They're currently 6.5 games back. All right. It would take, or actually 5.5 games back, I believe. It would take quite the run to get back into the playoffs. Right now, they're behind Milwaukee, who's 37-33. You'd need Milwaukee to go on like a 4-game winning streak. Pistons go on like a 4-game, like a 6-game winning streak to even be like near each other. All right. Because right now, the Pistons are 32-39. Bucks are 37-33, so yeah, not looking good for the Pistons right now. And I mean, what can you do? It's just Detroit. Detroit's always been that team since Chauncey Billups team broke up, all right, and they went their separate ways because of trades and all that. Ever since then, the Pistons really haven't been that good of a team. You've had guys like Andre Drummond there and all that go through, but obviously, I mean, it just hasn't worked out. Detroit's been a team that, I don't know, they're kind of weird. Like, it's like, Detroit is a team that should be up there as far as like franchises and stuff like that, like with the Celtics and Lakers, but kind of like near that, like with the Bulls and stuff like that, like those historic franchises that should be pretty good constantly. But Detroit, the front office is kind of just, I don't know, made some baffling moves. Like that Blake Griffin trade, yeah, I was excited about it when it happened, but it's just, I don't know, in hindsight, yeah, probably not the best move to make. I mean, Detroit probably just needs to rebuild from the ground up and start over, but I highly doubt that since they traded for Blake Griffin. And one thing I saw Blake Griffin talk about too the other day is that how Detroit, like, it finally feels good to go to an actual real franchise, I guess, how they treat their players good and all that. I mean, I don't know, that's kind of weird to me. Just pretty much, like, did the Clippers not treat their players right? Did they not put them first or something like that? That's what I'm thinking of. Maybe it's just a matter of now he's the top guy on the Pistons and doesn't have to play Chris Paul anymore, but just something that was intriguing to me. Kind of weird to hear, I guess. And as for the final game, we had the Houston Rockets facing off with the Portland Trail Blazers. Houston won this one, 115-111. All right, for Houston, you had Trevor Ariza with 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 of 7 shooting, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line. PJ Tucker had only 3 points, only took 2 shots, both from the 3-point line, hit one of them. Clint Capella, only 3 shots, hit 2 of them, 5 points, 6 rebounds. Chris Paul had 22 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, shot 6 of 16 from the field, 5 of 10 from the 3-point line. James Harden, big game. 42 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, shot 13 of 25, 5 of 7 from the 3-point line. Off the bench, you had Luka Mbamute with 13 points, 4 rebounds, shot 5 of 7. Eric Gordon had 18 points, 4 rebounds, shot 7 of 14. All right, for the Trailblazers, you had Al-Farouq Aminu with 22 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 7 of 11, 6 of 8 from the 3-point line. Mo Harkless had 17 points, shot 5 of 5, 3 of 3 from the 3-point line. Joseph Nurkic, good game from him, 21 points, 11 rebounds, shot 9 of 10. Damian Lillard had 20 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, shot 5 of 17, 0 of 7 from the 3-point line. And then you had CJ McCollum with 8 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, not the best night from him, 4 of 15 shooting from the field, 0 of 5 from the 3-point line. And then off the bench, you had Evan Turner with 10 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 5 of 10 there. All right. This was a big game for James Harden here. This was a solidify my MVP campaign type game right here. All right. For him to go out and put up 42 on the Trailblazers, who have won 13 in a row, that's big right there from James Harden. All right. And James Harden, like, I remember when Anthony Davis, a couple weeks ago when Anthony Davis was pretty much on his tear, and he still is. Anthony Davis is still going out for the Pelicans, but even then, remember when I was saying how Anthony Davis might take it away from James Harden if they finish third? Yeah, there's no way James Harden loses this MVP award unless maybe LeBron just somehow plays even better than what he is right now, takes off, somehow gets the Cavaliers to the number one seed in the East. All right, that's the only way James Harden does not win MVP. Because you got Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, who are out hurt. Warriors aren't going to be taking that one seed, so they're pretty much out of it. Damian Lillard was a nice story this season, but he's not going to be winning it. No one from the Thunder has a chance. Anthony Davis, like I said, it'd take a miracle for them to pretty much move up and for him to get it. No one else is really in contention for it right now. All right. Yeah, it's James Harden's award to lose. There's no way he loses it, I don't think. Like, this is going to be the year he finally wins it. Should have won it last year. All right, I don't care that Russell Westbrook had an average triple-double. Russell Westbrook's an average triple-double this year, quite possibly. I think he has, like, 9.7 rebounds or 9.7 assists. I have to double-check his stats. Actually, let's check Russell Westbrook's stats right now. All right, because Russell Westbrook, no one's talking about it. Maybe he just did it, and that's it. So he's averaging 10.2 points a game. Obviously averaging double digit points per, or 10.2 assists per game, obviously averaging double digit assists. All right, let's see, rebounds, he's got to be averaging, I think that's where the 9.7 comes in. Let's see, he is currently averaging, where is he at? Not top 10. He's number 11. He's averaging, let's see, 9.7 rebounds a game. All right. He could very well average a triple-double this year, and that's not going to be a story. So I just don't get how we're going from, like, is it now Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double for one season, so now it's not a big deal anymore? Or is it just, I don't know. But either way, like I said, no one's really going to come and take that award from James Harden. Good on him for winning it. Yes, I'm crowning James Harden MVP right now. All right. And as for the Trailblazers, this was like a measuring stick type game, and it's got to be kind of disappointing. Well, I mean, they kept it close. They what lost, what, 115-111? Yeah, so they kept it close. I mean, if CJ McCollum plays better, they probably win this game. Obviously, Damian Lillard didn't even play that well either. Shot 5 of 17, 0 of 7 from the three-point line. All right, but that's one thing that kind of might make you a little bit nervous. And again, this is a bit of an overreaction. This is more so no storylines going on this week, so we're just trying to pump through. But either way, I mean, you'd really want your best players to go out and shoot better than a 9 of, what is it, 9 of, let's do some quick math, 9 of 32, all right? Math is tough. 9 of 32 from the field combined, only 28 points, no threes hit, 0 of 12 from the three-point line, all right, and only about 9 combined assists. You'd expect them to play a little bit better, and this game was at home too, so like I said, you just really want them to play better. But I guess, I mean, Portland's going to be fine. They're going to make the playoffs, probably finish as the 3 seed, unless they go on some type of bad skid, which I don't think they will. And what a run they did have, too, with that 13-game winning streak. But, I mean, does Portland have a chance against Houston or Golden State? I think this game kind of showed us not yet. Portland's a bit of a weird team because Damian Lillard's been there for a while, and they've been more so a team that's kind of been, I don't know, above average, making the playoffs every year. Kind of like the Hawks of the East when they had Teague, Horford, and all those guys. All right, playing well, make the playoffs year after year, but really don't do much. And with this team this year, I mean, I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to be doing in the offseason more than anything. Maybe Portland could be a team where LeBron can end up. All right, maybe that's like a sleeper team right there. All right, because a team with LeBron, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, that'd be a pretty solid team there. Plus, you got Joseph Nurkic. I mean, that might be probably one of the best fits for LeBron, honestly. All right, you got your center who could rebound, play well. You got a two-guard, you got a point guard, and you got LeBron at the three or four, wherever you want to play him. Plus, you got guys like Moore Harkless out there. The Trailblazers are LeBron away from competing, I think, for the West, now that I'm thinking about it. All right, and this is a, I don't know. It kind of sounds good. I'd rather... Yeah, it does sound pretty nice, actually. All right, just imagine hit Lillard, McCollum, LeBron, Harkless, whoever you want out there, and Nurkic, and then you got that bench. Evan Turner coming off of there. All right, plus you probably bring in some new guys to come off the bench also because everyone wants to go play with LeBron. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good team there. All right, and I don't think Damian Lillard's leaving anytime soon or anything like that, so maybe LeBron could end up in Portland. Maybe that's just one thing we haven't been paying attention to. It's been more so Philly, Cleveland, Houston, and LA. And those are the big market teams right there, all right? Portland, not so much. Maybe that's why no one's been talking about Portland enough. Because, I mean, LeBron has talked about if him and Damian Lillard were on the same team, Damian Lillard would be appreciated a whole lot more and play a whole lot better. And Damian Lillard has expressed his interest in playing with LeBron, too. So, like I said, it's probably not going to happen, but I would not be surprised if it did, all right? But either way, like I said, big win for the Rockets. Two things I took away from yesterday. Melo, bit of a weird player. Thunder, bad loss. Should have pulled it out, all right? I don't know. The Thunder are just a weird team. Some days they look like they could beat the Warriors. Some days they look like they beat the Rockets. Some days they look like they can't even beat a Celtics D-League team, pretty much. And that's what the Celtics have been putting out. Putting out guys like Abdel Nader getting big minutes. Shane Larkin's been getting big minutes, too. I mean, the Thunder shouldn't have lost that game at all. I still do not know to this very moment how they lost. All right, had to be changing the game thinking it was over. Let's see, the Cavs, yeah, they're back in the third spot right now. Pacers are back in the fourth. All right, Pacers are half game back right now. The Cavs would be playing the Sixers. I kind of want the East to stay this way. I'd like to see the Raptors face off with the Bucks, Heat versus the Celtics, Cleveland versus Philly, and then Indiana versus the Wizards. Indiana versus the Wizards would probably be the best series of that Eastern Conference match playoff matchups. And let's see, for the West, it'd be the Rockets versus the Jazz right now, Minnesota versus Golden State, San Antonio versus Portland, and then New Orleans versus Oklahoma City. That'd be pretty fun to watch there, too. So everything's starting to come to a close in the regular season, all right? We're finally going to get to the playoffs, and it's going to be interesting to see. Are the Rockets going to be able to knock off the Warriors? Is Cleveland going to be able to make it back to the finals, or is Toronto finally going to get over the hump? But as for Boston, I mean, it's not looking good for them right now. Too many injuries, like I said. Maybe want to shut down Kyrie, which I don't think they will at all, but maybe that's an option you consider just because of the fact that he's been dealing with knee soreness all year. All right, whenever Kyrie misses games because of knee soreness, and you really don't want your star player, who I think Kyrie could end up with Boston for the rest of his career. I mean, it's kind of like he went from such a bad situation in Cleveland as far as playing with LeBron, and pretty much he did have his little, little run-ins with Ty Lue as far as disagreements and all that. Then you go from that to the Celtics culture, going from a pretty all right coach to one of the best coaches in the league, and pretty much being the guy on that team too. Plus, it seems like he just really likes out there. Fans love him. So, yeah, like I said, for Kyrie, I mean, I think about just hitting him for the rest of the year, but I doubt Boston does it. But either way, next up, we're going to be talking about my favorite moves of free agency. I know the NBA kind of took up the first two segments, but we'll be talking next up about NFL free agency, the moves I like, talk about Kirk Cousins a bit, and Case Keenum and all those other guys. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
GSMC Sports Podcast. I ended up spending the first two segments basically just talking about the NBA, right? NBA is getting hotter right now. Coming towards the end of the regular season. All right, so yeah, we spent the first two segments talking about the NBA. This segment, we're going to move over to the NFL. All right, we're going to talk about my favorite moves of free agency. We're going to talk about a few of the other moves. All right, talk about which teams got better, which teams didn't. So we'll be doing that. But first up, all right, I guess the competition committee for the NFL fixed up the catch rule, or at least tried to. All right, it goes number one, control. Number two, 2 feet down or another body part. Number three, a football move such as a third step, reaching, extending for the line to gain, or the ability to perform such an act. Okay, so what I'm getting from this, I might be totally wrong, is you got to catch it, bring it in, take 2 steps, and then make a football move, which is a third step, or reach forward. Pretty much, like for the first down for the goal line. All right. Kind of sounds like, yeah, sounds kind of normal and all that. But then, I mean, you can never make NFL fans happy, I'll tell you. NFL fans are the hardest to please. All right, you got to pretty much do everything. NFL fans, all right, again, I love talking sports. I am a fan. NBA fans and NFL fans, I feel like, go head-to-head. NBA fans are more so the fans with the bad takes. All right, the just pretty much the irrational takes, all right? It's like that's like pretty much Skip Bayless has like a bunch of minions in NBA, in the NBA, for the NBA fans, and all they do is just spew out hot takes constantly. NFL, it's more so you can't be pleased. They can't be pleased, all right? They pay your tickets. You got to listen to them, all right? That's NFL fans. But either way, I mean, you got people tweeting Al Riveron, I think he's like the head of the competition committee, or he's the senior vice president of officiating, all right? He tweeted it out, the new catch rules and all that. Then you got people saying, like, what does control mean and all that. Pretty much just nitpicking the rule again. Like, you cannot please NFL fans whatsoever. They go and try and fix the rule, and then you got these guys out here. Oh, what about this? What about that? How does that work? I mean, they put the rule out. Obviously, from what I got, you got to bring it in, take 2 steps, and then make a football move. Or have 2 feet in, and then make a football move. All right, whether that be moving up with the third step, reaching out for the goal line, or the first down, or whatever. All right, it's not that hard, I feel. But either way, that's the new catch rule. Fans don't seem to be pleased too much because it's still kind of confusing. But if the refs understand it and we start getting, and there's no catch controversies, then it works. So either way, there's that. But let's talk about free agency. All right, let's talk about Kirk Cousins going to the Vikings. All right, seems like Vikings fans aren't too happy about it. All right, would rather have Case Keenum so they could spend their money on the other players. And that makes sense. But the whole thing with Case Keenum, not so my problem with him, but just the whole situation about it or whatever, this season that Case Keenum had with the Vikings, the 22 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions, I think it was, 3,500 yards, and a real high quarterback rating, got him to the NFC Championship. The thing about that season is it's an outlier. All right, if you put that season with all of his other ones, and granted, I mean, yeah, he was then a starter for 16 games for those other seasons, but nonetheless, he got opportunities and got starts. All right, so this is an outlier. He never did this with any other team, or never even showed he was capable of doing this with a different team. All right, Kirk Cousins, and I've been seeing a lot of Kirk Cousins. Is he truly better than Case Keenum? Are they the same quarterback? And I kind of feel like I started that right before Kirk Cousins signed with Minnesota. I kind of feel like I started that conversation. I'm not going to take too much credit for it, but either way. I mean, the thing with Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, yes, they're pretty similar as far as quarterbacks go, as far as these seasons that they just had. But the difference is Kirk Cousins has been doing this for about 4 or 5 years, all right, putting up numbers like that. Case Keenum just did it for when? All right, we're not even sure if Case Keenum is going to be a good quarterback for Denver. We have no clue. Okay, because of the fact that he goes to a real great system in Minnesota, all right, plays under Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator, plays extremely well. Now he's going back to a different team. How do we know that Case Keenum's going to go out and light it up like he did in Minnesota? You don't. Simply put, you just don't. All right, Kirk Cousins did what Case Keenum did this past season with less. All right, Kirk Cousins has been doing what Case Keenum did this past season with less for 4 or 5 years. All right, it's time I think we start putting some respect on Kirk Cousins' name. Because of the fact that, and I don't know, Kirk Cousins is the most, like, is the weirdest quarterback out there, all right? Because you want to think, like, yeah, he's a really good quarterback, but you don't think he's worth what he got. And it's just weird to see how this is all played out, all right? Like I say, I mean, it came from San Francisco saying that, or it reported out that San Francisco was willing to make him the highest paid quarterback of all time, and that just stuck with Kirk Cousins. People are like, oh, San Francisco wants to pay him that much money? How about we pay him that much money, all right? And I don't know, with Kirk Cousins, though, I do think Minnesota are Super Bowl contenders, all right? And just because of the fact that, I mean, Kirk Cousins, like I said, has been doing what Case Keenum did last season with less talent. Just imagine what he could do with Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Dalvin Cook, Latavius Murray out there, and a Kyle Rudolph. All right, he finally has a tight end who, once he steps on the field, you don't have to worry about, is he going to last more than 5 minutes on the field before getting hurt? Kyle Rudolph is very, a very durable player and a very good player at that position. All right, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, I feel, is just one breakout season away from becoming a top 10 receiver. Adam Thielen very well could have played himself into that top 10 receiver conversation this season if you looked at what he did. All right, Dalvin Cook blew out his knee last season early on, but was looking good before that. If he could come back and pretty much play at the same level he was at, that's going to be a top running back in the league. He was that good. Then you got Latavius Murray, who's a nice little backup there. You could split time with him. And then the defense, I mean, that's a top 10 defense or top 5 defense already. All right, this is the best team Kirk Cousins has ever played with in the NFL, and there's no doubt about that. All right, better than anything he's had over there. So, I mean, with Kirk Cousins, this does make Minnesota Super Bowl contenders just because of the fact, like I said, if he's already doing what Keenum is doing with less talent, just imagine what we could do with even better talent at every position, all right, across the board. Even the coaching staff is better. So, I mean, I really like what the Vikings are doing there. And as far as the Broncos and Case Keenum, I mean, they gave him a 2-year deal. I think it's like, what, $10, $15 million guaranteed. But John Elway really needs to get this one right. All right, if John Elway doesn't get this right, then I don't know. You can't even say he's in trouble because he's John Elway. I feel like the dude's got full-on immunity with that team. All right, no matter what he does, he's not getting fired. All right, you go out and win a team 2 Super Bowls, you get that little soundbite, this one's for John. All right, that, you're set for life with Denver. Okay? And, I mean, that dude's been terrible as far as picking quarterbacks. And this was a bold move, going out and get Case Keenum. Because of the fact that I stated earlier, you're not really sure how well he's going to play. You're not sure if he's going to be able to thrive in your system. All right? You need to put the best possible players around Case Keenum in order for him to succeed. All right? Because quarterbacks in the league, I feel, it's a matter of either they're not ready yet or they don't have any opportunity to succeed. All right? I think, honestly, all right, this is going out on a bit of a limb. Every quarterback that comes into the league, all right, if they fail, and the Jamarcus Russells and the Ryan Leafs, those are all outliers because of the fact that they had off-the-field issues. But the guys who don't have off-the-field issues and pretty much show like, they're just not ready, they need time to develop. Kind of like the AJ McCarrons. All right, Matt Leinart was a guy who, if he didn't get injured, maybe could have did a little bit better. He needed just time to develop. All right, all those quarterbacks, I feel, are guys who, if you develop them enough, would play well. And I guess that's kind of what Case Keenum is here. All right, and you got to put a good team around him. We're going to see if Case Keenum, it's just a matter of he needed to develop some more or whatever for those first few years when he was with the Rams and Texans. And then once he got that starting job with the Vikings and an opportunity to show what he could do, he succeeded. All right. Maybe it's just he just needed time to develop and he is a good quarterback now, like a late bloomer type. All right. So we'll see about that. But I mean, if Case Keenum does play well for Denver, then Denver's a potential playoff team. They're only a Super Bowl contender if that defense returns to the form that they used to be at. All right, so it's going to be interesting to see there. Sam Bradford, that's another quarterback move I like. I've never really, like, Sam Bradford, I like as a quarterback, but I just don't like how much he's been getting paid. But I think I've come to the realization that $20 million for a starting quarterback is the minimum of what you pay. All right, I mean, Blake Bortles is making around 19, 18 mil. Bradford's making 20. I think Tannehill yearly average before he took a pay cut was like 19 mil, I think it is. So yeah, pretty much for like the bare minimum for a starting quarterback is that. All right, because now you got guys like Jimmy G making 35 and a half a year, I think, or something like that. All right, it's outrageous for quarterbacks. And I think that the NFL eventually is going to start turning into guaranteed deals. All right, but that's one thing too. I mean, you can't give everyone a guaranteed deal because there's not enough money to go around for a guaranteed deal. So I guess the top players need to get one. I'm really curious to see what Aaron Rodgers gets for his deal too, his extension with the Packers. I mean, it's got to be an outrageous, enormous amount of money he's going to be getting. He's got to be getting way more than what Kirk Cousins is getting guaranteed. All right, because Aaron Rodgers at 34, I mean, that's one thing too with Aaron Rodgers. All right, he sat the first 5 years of his career in Green Bay and, I mean, just came out and became one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time. Literally one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time. There's no disputing it, all right? The way he throws off the run, he can scramble out, all right? His arm, pocket presence, everything. Aaron Rodgers has everything. He's basically the LeBron James of the NFL, all right? LeBron James can do everything. And that's one thing, too. No one really regards Aaron Rodgers as a top quarterback all time, all right? Maybe he needs to, like, if Aaron Rodgers were to win another Super Bowl, like, say he wins a Super Bowl this year, all right? Is Aaron Rodgers a top five quarterback all time? Honestly, I'd like to think so. All right, because yeah, his stats probably aren't up there yet, and that's not his fault, mainly because, like I said, he sat the first 5 years of his career. And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, if you had to tell me, okay, you have your choice of who you think's gonna do it, all right, Tom Brady playing until he's 45 or Aaron Rodgers, I'd say it's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's like barely, like not barely, but he's like in the midst of his prime. All right, he's 34 years old, doesn't look like he's slowing down at all. I think Eli Manning and him got to be the same age, somewhere around there. I got to double check Eli Manning's age. Actually, that's going to be something we do right here. Because, I mean, the difference from Eli Manning to Aaron Rodgers is night and day. Let's see. Yeah, Eli's got to be around 35. He's 37. So Eli Manning is 3 years older than Aaron Rodgers. And I didn't realize Eli Manning was that old. All right, so yeah, Eli Manning, 37. Aaron Rodgers is 34. And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that's 3 year difference. Aaron Rodgers looks the light years ahead of Eli Manning. All right. And that's no secret or anything like that. But as far as Aaron Rodgers, the dude's got to be getting at least 87, 90 guaranteed from the Packers. And that's going to hurt them big time. All right. And I guess, like, with them giving him all that money, it's just a matter of you're going to give him all that money, then you're expecting him to make everyone around him better. All right. Because you're not going to be able to bring in top players or anything like that. I mean, you brought in a Jimmy Graham, who I want to apologize. All right. When he signed with the Packers, at first I was kind of skeptical of the move. Didn't realize he scored 11 touchdowns with Seattle that year. All right. Maybe he still has something going. I just have this thing with old tight ends in the league. Just don't really trust them. All right. But either way, I mean, if you give Rodgers all that money, you're not going to be able to sign anyone else. You're just going to hope that, you know what, Aaron Rodgers, put the team on your back, get us to the Super Bowl and win it. And I think that's what Aaron Rodgers needs to be regarded as a top five quarterback all time. He just needs one more Super Bowl. All right. Because honestly, like, the guy is the most talented quarterback of all time as far as everything that he does. All right. Literally, he is great at every single part of being a QB. All right. It's just ridiculous. But we turned this into a quarterback segment, actually. So maybe we'll talk about the other ones. But another free agency signing I liked was Allen Robinson to the Bears. I almost call it to Mitch Trubisky. But either way, yeah, to the Bears. All right. This is exactly what the Bears needed. All right. And they brought in Taylor Gabriel, too. I like that. All right. But Allen Robinson there, you give pretty much the second-year quarterback his number one receiver, all right, like that go-to guy. Allen Robinson's going to have a great year this year. The Bears are going to have a great season this year, all right? I really like Mitch Trubisky, all right? No one's really talking too much about him. They're kind of wait and see with him. I think he's going to be a great quarterback, and I think he's going to play extremely well for the Bears. I think the Bears are going to step up this season, going to surprise a lot of people, And they're going to be a team to pretty much in the near future to reckon with in the NFC North. Because the NFC North is a tough division. You got the Detroit Lions. You got the Packers, of course. You got the Vikings. And you got the Bears, who are an up-and-coming team. That's going to be a very good division. So, like I said, I like the Allen Robinson signing there. I think he's going to have a big year. All right, that's one thing you need for Mitch Trubisky. You need that number one receiver with him. Kind of like with the 49ers. I mean, they need to bring in a number one receiver for Jimmy Garoppolo. Marquise Goodwin isn't that, and I don't think Pierre Garçon is that. But maybe that's what they're going to be trying to go with, trying to hope that maybe Jimmy G can make those players around him better. But that's all I'm going to talk about for this segment. Next up, we're going to be talking probably more about the NFL, talk about anything else going on in the world of sports, and making my picks for tonight's game. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Today we've talked about the NBA in the first two segments, did the scores, and where I did the recap for the games. Pretty much talked about anything else that came to mind as far as the NBA goes. Third segment, we talked a lot about the NFL, they're changing up the catch rule, and pretty much talked about Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, and a couple of other players. A lot of quarterback talk in that last segment. So we did that. For this segment, as you know, we always just spend it talking about whatever is going on in sports, so let's do that. All right. Pretty much what I'm thinking about right now is how we've been without the tournament since, what, Sunday, I think it is? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday being the third day. It's not fun. Not a fun time whatsoever, right? We get, like, so many games the first 2 days of the tournament, and then after that, it's like, oh, now it's just a normal tournament where the players get rest and all that. I think the NCAA would be better off, and I know this is tough because all the logistics and stuff like that, how all that big boy stuff works. Maybe instead of putting all the games on the first 2 days and taking a break, maybe just space it out enough, like maybe two-game rest, two-day rest, or whatever. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, trying to figure out the way I could get the most college basketball every day. All right, because of the fact that the tournament's one of my favorite things to watch. All right, and I don't know. It's just like college basketball. It's like I like the NBA better, but college basketball, just when March comes up, it's like there's nothing better. All right, and this is where the NCAA makes most of their money too. But either way, I mean, I do want to point out that in my Final Four for my bracket, most of it's just busted, but three out of the four teams I had in the Final Four are still alive. I had Michigan, West Virginia, and Duke making it in, and I had Arizona, but they completely messed that up. And that might be like the second biggest story of the tournament too. Arizona getting bounced by Buffalo in the first round. Not even just losing close, just they got destroyed. All right, maybe that's the second biggest story. Obviously, the first biggest story would be University of Maryland, Baltimore County, school no one's ever heard of besides other than the final buzzer. All right, when the game happened. But either way, like I said, I mean, I've done pretty well so far in my bracket, all right? For me to pick Michigan, West Virginia, and Duke, if they make it, I don't know. I think I deserve people to say, yeah, you had a pretty perfect bracket. Because everyone else, I mean, everyone's bracket is busted. But either way, I miss college basketball. Wish it was out here now. And I'm kind of curious to see what happens after this tournament, all right? Because let's not forget, the FBI investigation is still going on, all right? This is not over, okay? Sean Miller, Arizona, they still got to deal with all that, the ESPN story, whether it was true, whether it was not. And, I mean, we're going to find out, I mean, pretty much what's going to go on. Because there's no way the college basketball goes back to being how it is. Some change has to come. All right, this tournament's been kind of like a distraction from it. No one's really been talking about it. Like, up until, I mean, couple days before, that was a story. The FBI investigation. So now we had the tournament coming up. It's kind of like a peace period. But after that, I mean, we got to go back to talking about it. This has got to be something that we bring up. Because of the fact that, you know, we can't let this slip away. We can't let the NCAA pretty much get off scot-free. All right, and the NCAA, I mean, they've been making money off of everyone since the beginning of time, I feel. It's probably the worst sports organization compared to the NFL. I mean, I just do not like the NCAA whatsoever. All right, if they would have allowed players to get paid, we would have had NCAA football still. All right, one of the best games of all time. But no, all right, NCAA said no, they can't get paid. But either way, I mean, we got games going on tomorrow. We got Loyola Chicago versus Nevada at 4 o'clock. We got Texas A&M versus Michigan at 4:30, 4:40 technically. All right, we got Kansas State versus Kentucky at 6:37. And then Florida State versus Gonzaga at 7:07. I don't understand these game times. Like, why at 4:07? Why at 4:37? Why at 6:37? Why at 7:07? That didn't make sense to me. Usually it's just 4:30 or somewhere like that. Like 4 o'clock or 4:30. Like, times like that. But either way, NCAA is pretty weird. So there's that. Let's see what else we got going on in the world of sports right now. All right, let's see. Oh, yeah. Deion Sanders and safety from the Titans, Kevin... Is it Byard or Bird? I think it's Kevin Bird. All right. Or by, it's B-Y-A-R-D. Byard? Either way, all right, they got into a little Twitter exchange. Deion Sanders looked pretty bad, all right, because I think it was Deion Sanders who tweeted out that Tyrann Mathieu was the top safety in the NFL. And I think Byard, did he did something. I think he finished with All-Pro first team. Yeah, I think he finished All-Pro and made the Pro Bowl this past season. And... like, Byard, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but anyway, that safety tweets at Deion Sanders saying, how are you going to say that he's the best when you get two All-Pro safeties that you didn't even mention? And Deion Sanders tweets at him thinking that the dude's a fan, right? Saying that he's, like, he's with riders and all that stuff, he knows the game, and, like, the dude just finished All-Pro. Like, Deion Sanders, like, just put the phone down. I understand Deion Sanders has like this, oh, I'm like the cool dad at the NFL, all right? Kind of like the cool uncle type guy. That's a little thing he has going on right now, all right? Cool with all the players and stuff like that. Pretty much just trying to fit in still. And, like put your phone down, Deion, all right? Just put it down. Or at least, look, the guy has a blue check mark next to his name on Twitter, and you're still going to call him a fan, not even check? And I know this is going to make sure that Titan safety Kevin... Byard, I gotta figure out how to pronounce the guy's last name because I'm really struggling here. But Byard, that dude's gonna finish All-Pro again, no doubt. All right, I saw an article; he's got that little exchange on his as his lock screen on his phone. All right, Deion Sanders, I mean, just the ultimate old man move. All right, I understand Deion Sanders still thinks he could go out and play in the NFL and all that. He's never said that, but I'm sure he's got that type of mentality. But dude, just put the phone down. It's past your time. All right, go chill with NFL Network and do the job there. Don't call out All-Pro safeties. It just, I don't know, Deion Sanders is just a headache right there. All right, let's see, anything else we got going on? Let's see, LeBron called the NBA playoff play-in idea whack. Yes, that is true. It is definitely whack, quote-unquote. All right, I mean, the NBA can't become too gimmicky. If they start doing that, it's gonna lose a following a bit. All right, you cannot become too gimmicky. I don't know why the NBA is trying to change anything right now. It's always a balance. Yeah, the West probably has better teams with better records, but it's always going to change. There's going to be a time where the East becomes the better conference. So stop trying to mess with it all the time. It makes no sense to me. All right, I understand that they're trying to play to pretty much just trying to grow and stuff like that. One thing the NFL could learn from, but it's like, there's no point. Just leave it the way it is. All right. And I think that's pretty much all that's going on in the NFL right now. Baseball news is like, just baseball has just been dead. Like, spring training's going on, but no, like, I don't know, spring training, like, baseball has not put out any storylines since Giancarlo Stanton got traded to the Yankees, all right? Derek Jeter, that's the ultimate. That's Danny Ainge, I think. Who was the GM for the Minnesota Timberwolves when Kevin Garnett got traded to the Celtics? I have to double check that right now. Let's see. Just checked, and it was Kevin McHale. Kevin McHale, that's the guy who traded Kevin Garnett to the Celtics for pretty much players who didn't really last too long. I think Al Jefferson was like the best player to go there. Or was it Ricky Davis there too? Either way, Al Jefferson was the best player, but I got to check that haul, see what the Timberwolves got back for Kevin Garnett. I can't remember exactly, but I don't know how it'd be something. It's like a bunch of players, whatever. That makes sense. Derek Jeter does his team a favor just like the way Kevin McHale did his team a favor. All right, that's what it was. I mean, I don't know. That's crazy to see. But either way, all right, that's pretty much all I got to talk about. Now let's make my picks for tonight's NBA games. Okay, so first up, we got the Memphis Grizzlies facing off with the Philadelphia. Or actually, we got the Raptors. I'm gonna do that pick first. We got the Raptors facing off with the Cavaliers. This one's on ESPN. Gonna be a good game. Cleveland's favored by 2. No DeMar DeRozan. I'm gonna go with. Ooh, this is tough. The Raptors are a good team. It's not like they just need DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. I think I'm going to go with the Raptors. I think they're going to be able to pull it out. All right, they play good team basketball. The bench has been playing really well. I'm going to go with the Raptors. Yeah, I got the Raptors against the Cavaliers. Then we got the Memphis Grizzlies facing off with the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm going Philly. Easy pick. Don't even need to talk about it. Then we got Charlotte facing off with the Brooklyn Nets. Charlotte's favored by a point and a half. I'm going to go with the Hornets in this one. Kemba Walker's been playing well. Dwight Howard's been kind of off and on as far as having great games and good games. But I'm going to go with the Hornets in that one. Then we got the New York Knicks facing off with the Miami Heat. Like I said, teams that tank, always easy to pick against them. I got the Miami Heat in this one. Plus, they're at home, so it shouldn't be a problem. Denver Nuggets versus the Chicago Bulls. Denver's got to start winning these games right here, all right? They're 11-23 on the road. Chicago's 15-20 at home. Doesn't matter. Denver's got to win this game. Denver's going to win this game. I'm picking Denver. Then we got the LA Clippers facing off with the Milwaukee Bucks. Doesn't look good for the Clippers right here. Bucks are 22-14 at home, 37-33. Clippers are also 37-33, 17-18 on the road. But I'm going to go with the fighting Giannis Antetokounmpo's, all right? I think the Bucks are going to be able to pull this one out. Clippers are hitting a skid at the worst possible time they could. But either way, I'm going with the Bucks. Then we got the Pacers facing off with the New Orleans Pelicans. This is going to be a fun game to watch. I might actually have to watch this one. I'm going to go with the... This is tough. I'm going to go with the Pelicans. I don't know who I'm going with. Pacers, they're both playing really well right now. Pacers are probably playing a little bit better basketball, but I think I got to go with the home team in this one. So I'm going to go with the Pelicans. Anthony Davis has been lights out. So is the rest of that team. So I'm going with the Pelicans there. And then for the final game of the night, we got the Washington Wizards facing off with the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs have been playing well. Winners of four in a row. I'm going to go with the Wizards, though. I think they're going to be able to pull it out. All right. Obviously, the logical pick would be the Spurs, but as far as picking games, there's no such thing as logic. All right. It's pretty much... I don't got to go with your gut, so I'm going with my gut. I got the Wizards winning this one. All right, so let's recap my picks. I got the Raptors beating the Cavs, Sixers beating the Grizzlies, Hornets beating the Nets, the Heat beating the Knicks, Nuggets beating the Bulls, Bucks beating the Clippers, Pelicans beating the Pacers, and the Wizards beating the Spurs. All right, only two upset picks tonight. That is the Wizards over the Spurs and the Raptors over the Cavs. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Today, first two segments, we talked NBA, talked about scores from yesterday, and talked a bit about some other things going on, James Harden and all those other players. We talked about NFL free agency, talked about my favorite moves, talked a lot about quarterbacks in that third segment, and then for this fourth segment, basically talked about pretty much whatever was crossing my mind as far as sports go. All right, talked a bit about the tournament. Let's see, what else we talk about? Talked about a bunch of stuff for this segment and made my pick. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back tomorrow as always, so stay tuned, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.